Joc Pederson has definitely been one of the Giants' better position players in 2022, but even after this win last night, Giants winning 7 of 8 and Pederson hitting a home run, his post-game comments sounded like he feels depressed, honestly, being on this team, and it didn't really sound like he wants to be back. So we're going to break down what he said and much more next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, we've got a lot to get into. I want to discuss Joc Pederson, these post-game comments, seemingly giving a little bit of a clue as to his mental state as this season winds down and he gets ready to reach free agency again. We're also going to revisit the J.D. Davis, Darren Ruff trade, which has so far been extremely one-sided in favor of the Giants. And also, we're going to get into how MLB.com and the app is incorrectly saying the Giants are eliminated and why that ticks me off to no end. But first, I want to get into Joc Pederson. So like I said, he's undoubtedly been one of the Giants' better position players this season. We've talked about this a lot, but what he does is he hits, and he specifically hits right-handed pitching really well, but he doesn't provide a lot of defensive value, isn't a great runner either. He has hit lefties decently this year, but has a long track record of not hitting left-handed pitching. So that's what he is. He's like a good platoon player. And these post-game comments, though, these I got these from Danny Emmerman of KNBR, and a lot of reporters wrote about them as well. But what Pederson said when asked about just the Giants and being out of it here, he said, "It's not fun. I like playing in the playoffs. I signed up here after the team won 107 games, expecting to compete again. Things didn't go our way. Happens. I don't enjoy not playing meaningful baseball." Then he went on to say, "I think this team is really good. They won 107 games last year, dealt with some injuries, dealt with some other things that were tough. But this is for sure a playoff team, and I think it was more of a fluke year." So then Emerson says, but when asked point blank if he wants to return to San Francisco, he said the following, quote, "It's a really cool organization. I've played for 4 really awesome organizations. I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens in the offseason. It's been nice," Pederson said of playing close to home, per Emmerman. Quote, "I've really had fun. First-class organization. They do everything the right way, and I'm glad that I got to be a part of it for a year." End quote. And so there's a lot here, but the kind of dodging of the question, you don't hear like, "I would love to be back. I really want to be back, and hopefully we find a way to make it work." You hear more of, "It's been nice. I'm glad I got to be a part of it for a year." It sounds to me like a guy who doesn't want to be back next year. Like when he was asked, I read these first and then I watched the interview, and when he was asked about what it's been like playing close to home, he wasn't like, "Oh my gosh, it's been so fantastic being closer to home and being in my hometown." He was like, that's what he said. He said, "It's been nice," but he said it kind of like, I don't know. I don't want to, read into the way he says things. We should kind of take them at face value, but it just didn't have the tone of someone who was enthusiastic about being back. And it's, his depression is our depression, because what he's talking about is the disappointment of this team and just the vibe around this team all year long was never like really fun and something that players would want to come back to necessarily. Like I felt the same way about Carlos Rodon. Just all year long, this team has not really had a ton of fun. And we talked a lot early on in the year about how you look around the league and you look at certain teams I don't know. I've given the example of the Toronto Blue Jays. They've got a lot of young talent. And those young, talented players kind of provide that energy for your team. And the Giants being an older team and also having a lot of guys on shorter-term deals like Jock Peterson, like Carlos Rodon, they haven't kind of had the time to build up that chemistry as a group together. It's just kind of like random pieces here and there. And then there's no core of like young talent. There's no core, period. Like the core players are guys who struggled, you know, like the Crawfords and Evan Longorias and Brandon Belts of the world. And some of your best players like Peterson and Rodon being much more valuable because of what I said about Peterson. Good at his one thing, but not so good in other facets of the game. But when some of your better players are just kind of one-year guys, I don't know. Last year, it was a kind of similar roster construction. They did have Posey and what he did on the field and what he did off the field. And they had, you know, career years out of Crawford and Belt. And so it was a lot of the same group. It just kind of goes to show you that the group dynamics of a baseball team can, you know, it's a fragile thing. And it's something that you can't always kind of put your finger on how it's going to play out. It's a complex dynamic thing, the dynamics of a group of individuals who spend so much time together. Since day one of spring training, these guys are together every single day for like 7-8 months out of the year. They travel together. They're on the road together. They're on planes together. They're just together all the time. And I don't know, from the outside looking in, it just didn't seem. And Peterson, like he has been a part of really good teams every year. And you know, he's used to that. He's used to them having fun, gelling, and getting to the playoffs and having success together. So, I don't know. On the one hand, it was like painful to watch this and to listen to this. But on the other hand, it's not like we're talking about a superstar player who's dropping hints that he's going to be out the door. This is someone, if he doesn't want to be here, I wish him luck. Like, it's not paramount to the Giants that they bring him back. Like, his production is replaceable. He's a quality player, but look, there's a reason he ended up signing a one-year, $6 million deal late in the offseason. He wasn't exactly in high demand. And so, while I think he could be a nice part of the Giants moving forward, he shouldn't be, like, the key, most important guy on your roster. And so, if he wants to leave, so be it. They should be able to be okay without him. They have a lot of work to do in the offseason, whether or not they bring him back. So that's kind of my thoughts on that subject. But coming up in just a minute, here's a guy who very likely will be back next year because he's under team control. It's not a situation like Peterson who can just walk out the door. J.D. Davis. And all this guy has done, really, since coming over to the Giants has hit. So we're going to revisit the J.D. Davis trade and how players like Ruff have performed and Davis since. But first, guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life. That's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis in a chewable tablet and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the United States and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. We've got a special offer for our listeners as well. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay the $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. All right, as promised, we are going to revisit the fateful J.D. Davis trade, which, you know, at the time looked like a pretty nice move for the Giants. It was kind of a weird, random, small move that they made. But getting out from underneath the commitment that they made to Darren Ruff. I hate to say it. And also, though, getting JD Davis, who, as we said at the time, and it's proved to be the case, was just kind of a younger and more versatile version of Darren Ruff. And they also got three prospects in return, including Thomas Zapucki, who's quietly done a pretty nice job for the Giants. And so the sad reality of the situation for Darren Ruff is that it really hasn't gone well in New York. He's played in 29 games, just 74 plate appearances, so averaging just over two plate appearances per game played. So this is what JD Davis was saying his role was in New York. It looks like they just subbed in Darren Ruff in that same role, which is that he's platooning very strictly. And that's the thing about the Giants. It was funny. Rich Aurelia on the postgame show a couple days ago said to JD Davis, like, in New York, they've got their starting eight and it's set. And here in San Francisco, it's like nowhere else and all these platoons. And how do you adjust to that? And JD Davis was like, I'm sorry to correct you, Richie, but that's not true. Like, in New York, I was being more strictly platooned than I am here. So this is one of those things I've talked to. This is kind of me going on a semi-tangent. We tend to think that, I don't know, like a lot of teams do platoons, and including the Mets, and JD Davis was in a worse platoon situation there than he is here. And so, no, the Giants aren't just like the most unusual team out there. A lot of teams platoon. Maybe the Giants do it more than other teams, but plenty of teams do it at certain spots in their order. And for Ruff, anyway, that's the role he's been in, and unfortunately, it has not gone well at all. He's hit 152 with a 216 on base and 197 slugging. It's a 24 weighted runs created plus, and altogether, because his defense hasn't gotten any better, he's produced negative 0.8 Fangraphs wins above replacement in 30 games, 29 games. So, disastrous, and that is by far the worst value of any player on the Mets this season, in, you know, the whole season. Robinson Cano was pretty bad in his 12 games there, and they cut him loose. But the thing about Ruff, too, is that they signed him before the season started to a guaranteed deal for this year plus next year, and then a club option for the year after that. But with Davis, what the Giants have gotten out of JD Davis is he's hit 288 with a 383 on base and 550 slugging, a 161 weighted runs created plus. By the way, 100 is league average. So if you're at 161, it means 61% above average offense. And for Ruff, like I said, he was at 24, meaning 76% below average offense. And for Davis, 1.2 Fangraphs wins above replacement in 42 games. So it is inflated. He's got a 417 average on balls in play with the Giants that is unsustainably high, but he is a guy who actually historically has run high averages on balls in play. He's clearly a guy who is going to hit for an above average on balls in play. His lifetime BABIP is 346, which is, you know, when he puts the ball in play and we don't count home runs as part of this, he gets a hit more often than the average guy. And it's probably because he hits the ball so hard on average. But overall, it's just been production, and he's been on a especially hot tear lately. Had four hits in the game at the finale in Arizona, including a mammoth opposite field home run into the pool off Mark Melancon, a right-handed pitcher. And then yesterday, he hit another ball, not exactly the same spot, but right center at Oracle Park, and just kind of a no-doubt home run. I do believe it was against a right-handed pitcher. Was it Herman Marquez? I actually don't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was against another right-handed pitcher. I think he had three more hits last night. So he's just been on a tear. And as I mentioned with the contract status, he is arbitration eligible for two more years. And so his salary this year is $2.76 million. And he's arbitration eligible again next year. And so he'll be in line for a raise, as everybody is in the arbitration process year to year. So I don't know, around $4 million. And it would be a one-year deal for a guy who, by the way, Darren Ruff is 36 and JD Davis is 29. And so it's just looking like a slam dunk. And I haven't even mentioned the other guys who came back in that trade. So Thomas Zapucki is a guy who comes to the Giants with less than a year of service time. So he's a guy who's under club control for six additional seasons after this year. And He's 26 years old, a lefty who's throwing upper 90s. And by the way, with the Giants, he struck out 14 of the 43 hitters he's faced. That's a strikeout rate of 32.6%, which is very healthy. League average is around 22%. He's actually got a 2.53 ERA in 10 and two-thirds innings with the Giants. And his first start, his first relief appearance of the year for San Francisco wasn't very good. And if we were to take that one out, I don't want to make a habit of just taking out the bad appearances. But if we take it out, he's got a 1.74 ERA over his last 10 and a third innings. And I don't know. I mean, Thomas is a pucky kind of quietly. He's got really good stuff. He's got a big curveball. And then they received two other prospects who have done well in the minors as well as part of this Darren Ruff trade. So it really looks like a good deal for the Giants. JD Davis, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, he's also not a very good defender. Like Darren Ruff, kind of plays different positions, first and third, but it's going to limit his value. He can really hit, but he's not going to provide a lot of defensive value or base running value, kind of similar to Jock Peterson, except maybe a little less of, not a little less, a lot less of a platoon player. And even if he was platooned, he'd be on the short side of a platoon, meaning facing lefties as opposed to facing righties. And we call it short side because there are just fewer lefties, more righties. So anyway, JD Davis, the Giants have that flexibility that if he were to have struggled here in the last couple months, they could have moved on from him without having committed salary to him next year like there is to Ruff. It's looking bad for Ruff. But I mean, here's the thing. The Mets are going to the playoffs and you never know. Darren Ruff could have some big moments in the postseason and then all would be right in the world from their perspective. And hopefully, I hope for that for Ruff because he was a good Giant and it's kind of tough. It's very tough to just get thrown across the country to a brand new organization when you're comfortable somewhere. You would just sign an extension here and they just ship you off. It's tough. It's the tough reality of the business side of this sport. But from a performance standpoint, I mean, the performance has suffered. And that's why, you know, JD Davis coming closer to home, I think it's smart. Sometimes you have to think, like, how is this going to mentally affect the player? And for Ruff, from what I've heard, it just hasn't been a good transition for him. And I mean, when you're struggling like that, it's no surprise. But they're committed to paying him next year, so it'll be interesting to see if they do end up playing out the entirety of that contract or if they have to cut it short before it reaches its conclusion. So anyway, that's revisiting the trade. Coming up in just a minute, are the Giants eliminated or are they not eliminated? According to MLB, they're eliminated, but guess what? MLB is wrong, so we're going to get into it in a minute. But first, all right, as promised, are the Giants eliminated or are they not? If you just went to MLB.com and scrolled to the standings page, which we do like every single day as part of preparing for this show, you'll see the elimination number. And for the Giants, there's a big fat E next to them in the wildcard standings, which means eliminated. And as such, you've got, you know, Fox Sports tweeting out this morning, the Giants have officially been eliminated from postseason contention. Okay, so this just ticks me off to no end because for a number of reasons. Number one, you just can't be wrong, MLB. You can't just display the incorrect elimination status on your website. It doesn't really matter as it pertains to the Giants, although, look, it stinks enough getting eliminated. At least you could do them the courtesy of not saying they're eliminated until they actually are. But as it pertains to other teams, like they have the Brewers wrong too. There's some kind of glitch going on because it was correct yesterday or going into yesterday. But then the Brewers had an elimination number of 9 going into yesterday. And then after yesterday's games, it went down to 5, which just can't happen. There was no doubleheaders played or anything. So it should be actually at 8. I don't know. They just cut off 3 more than they needed to. And the Giants were at 2, and yet they won, and the Phillies lost, and it should have stayed at 2. So the actual elimination number for the Giants is 2, meaning a number of things. They can't lose 2 more games, first and foremost. They must go 6-1 or better, or do they have 8 games left, 7-1 or better, or else they're eliminated. But also it matters what the teams ahead of them are doing. The Phillies and the Brewers are both ahead of them but haven't clinched. And so they need basically the Phillies and Brewers to lose pretty much every game, which is extremely unlikely. And it's why it ultimately isn't that impactful that it's incorrectly displaying this information. But it's wrong about the Brewers. And my goodness, could this lead to some real confusion if people aren't on top of it? And it just strikes me as very wrong when you're the primary source of this information for most people, including evidently Fox Sports, who doesn't do any fact checking before they tweet out that you're officially eliminated. It's not hard to figure out that you're not eliminated. The easiest way to do this is to look at how many games can the Giants win if they don't lose again. And the answer is 84, right? 84 and 78. I was looking at the wrong team. 84 wins, 8 more games, and they have 76 now. So 84 is the most they can win. And the Phillies have 83, and the Brewers have 82. The Padres have 86, and so the Giants can't catch the Padres. It's mathematically impossible. But they can not only catch, but pass the Phillies. And so the reality of the new rules actually is that in the event of ties, you don't play a tiebreaker game. It goes to a tiebreaker formula. There's no extra game. And so if the Giants were to somehow end up tying the Phillies, say, the Giants would actually win that tiebreaker because they had a better head-to-head record with the Phillies this year. The Giants won the season series against Philadelphia. They also won the season series against the Brewers, the other team that's ahead of them but hasn't clinched. And so if the Brewers end up with 84 wins, or if the Brewers and Giants end up tied and it's to determine who were to get in, the Giants would actually win that as well. And so anyway, Philadelphia just needs to get to 85, or the Brewers need to get to 85, and the Giants would be eliminated. And that's only if the Giants don't lose again. So if the Giants lose, then Philadelphia only needs to get to 84, or the Brewers need to get to 84. The Giants lose 1. So anyway, none of this is at all likely enough to warrant talking about it. And I wouldn't even be talking about it, about the Giants' chances of like surviving this period here, if these numbers weren't wrong. But what gets me is the Brewers' elimination number is listed as 5, but it's not. So imagine if that gets to 0. When you start to get closer to the end of the season, let's say there's like 3 games left and this elimination number is showing as 0, there's the potential for real confusion among fans, among reporters who are then going to confuse fans if the reporters get it wrong. And how about the teams themselves? I would really hope that the teams themselves would be like, give the players a heads up. Like, you're not about to clinch, even though MLB.com is saying that you are. I just think as the primary source for this information, you can't be wrong. And it just seems like nobody's doing anything about it. This has been wrong since last night. I haven't seen MLB put out a tweet or anything that we have this information wrong. You've got major news sources like Fox Sports saying the Giants have been officially eliminated when it's not true. And why it matters is because the truth and facts matter. And it just irritates me to no end, especially that it'd be one thing if it was a technical error and they were like, hey, we've got this wrong, we're trying to fix it. But it just seems like, oh, hey, not really paying attention here. And the Giants are, I guess, eliminated, and the Brewers are about to be too, even though that's not necessarily true. So yeah, the Giants elimination number is 2, not 0. So yeah. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter, at Ben Kaspic, KASPICK. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review, hitting thumbs up, whatever you can do. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Anyway, can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.